own part of it, mm-hmm. think about this, is probably like 30%. It's called a phone, but we're more dependent on it for a messenger device, for texting, check email, whatever. Look at
social
the traffic,
media,
look at the
show.
Weather, pull up the radar, where is it raining? Yeah. And then, oh, yeah, I forgot, I can call on this thing. I can use it as a phone.
I seriously could say, I have a personal assistant who works with me three, four hours a day.
Wow.
And
she hot?
Fancy.
She used to be. She got...
She's not listening. She's listening. She's going to quit.
She had a kid and kind of let herself go.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. I hope she doesn't listen.
But I pay her $20 an hour. And
you didn't let yourself go.
Come on.
Oh, I know. We all did it.
It's fat on fat crime, Frank. I'm allowed. If I was skinny, I'd be a jerk. But since I'm fat...
No, you're
fat
right.
Fat on fat crime.
No. Overweight people, we can do that. It's right. Like Chris Rock can do the black jokes.
Right. Right. Exactly. Yeah. So... I seriously pontificated.
That's a nice big word.
Weather. Pontificated.
I seriously pontificated during my aggravating drive here in the monsoon storm whether I was going to have her come to the station on the clock, get my key, go all the way out to my house, get my phone, and bring it back, which would have cost me $40.
Yeah. Just and to have my the show would be over by the time.
Well, no, I probably have it for the last 2 hours of the show. I seriously considered having that. That's how desperate.
Well, $40. It's worth $40.
Yeah.
Oh, now you, sure thanks, it is. Now you tell me, because I decided against it. Now you're telling me to do it?
$40? I thought you were going to say it cost me $400.
No. Here's the other question. Do you know her phone number? Do you have it in your head?
I was actually thinking about that, and I don't think I do.
No, that's the other problem with these phones.
Right.
We don't know anybody's number. No. It's all in the context.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't tell you Dan's number, and I called Dan a lot. I yeah. called him
I used to be able to memorize all of my friends' phone numbers. Like, they're all of their home numbers. I had them all.
Yeah.
Now nothing.
I don't know your
number.
I don't know Tim's number. I don't know Dan's number. Mm-hmm. I know my wife's number and all of my kids' phone numbers. That's it.
Wow.
That's it. I don't know anybody else's number. I know my mother. I don't know my mother-in-law's
number. Oh, okay.
Number.
I know my mom's and my little sister's cell phone. So, yeah.
Well, I told Tim, sip on a good cold drink. Relax and get ready to have a good time. Because
mm-hmm.
in the whole scheme of things, I decided a long time ago, what we're doing here is just, I'm serious, it's just not that important. It's not, the world won't stop turning if all of us are off the air tomorrow. And certainly if one guy is late and has a bad day, for God's sake, you know, people's lives aren't dependent on us.
Bill Cleveland just sent me a text. Says, sounds like he needs to read a chapter of his own book today.
Hey, that's pretty good. That's actually pretty good. So welcome to the September 19th edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon. We're glad to have you with us. It's Wednesday, so Dr. Doug is here in the 4 o'clock hour. A segment that I didn't know if it would last. And occasionally I get an email from people, I don't care anything about pets. Well, here's the deal. Most people do. Most people have pets, and it's been a very successful show, and you judge the success based on, you know, do you get any calls or not? It's like the Scott Sherman thing. First week, boom, right out of the chute. So Dr. Doug continues to help people with free animal advice. So if you have a pet, whether it's a garter snake, my garter snake was on the video on our Facebook page, and I think 2 days ago my son said they let him go. James Garter was his name, and they let him go in the grass, and my son got sick goodbye to it because he was being punished for not sleeping in his own bed. If you don't sleep in your own bed, we can't keep James Garter. Well,
oh, you missed the
game. Got up in the middle of the night.
What was that? What?
James Garter.
Well, that's not really a
yeah,
joke.
No, yeah, he
not
said that yesterday.
Funny enough for a rim shot.
Recycled joke.
Oh, yeah, second day in a row, it's not second, funny.
Yeah, no.
Got it. Doesn't deserve it.
Got it.
So, does anybody have anything to say?
I do, real quick.
Let me introduce born in America, American citizen, dual citizenship, I believe. Is that correct?
I believe so, yes.
The one and only, Trevor Limestone Phillips. So are you. You're welcome.
Thank you very much. Earlier today, I bumped into a listener, actually, of the show.
We got one.
Nice.
All right.
We got one. His name is Gary. He's been listening to your show for years and years and years, I think longer than I've been alive, so just wanted to give him a shout out. Hello, Gary.
Hello, Gary, how you doing? Thank you. Was that it?
That's it.
Anything else? Anybody else? No?
I have something.
All right.
Did you?
Let me introduce this man.
Okay.
Every day there could be somebody new, just first day listening. They don't know who you are.
Right.
He's a member of a band, the Saturn VII Rocket Band.
Oh, Seventh Planet Band.
Right.
Yeah.
And He teaches broadcasting, even though he doesn't even know how to do it himself. He still teaches it.
True.
Sold cars for a while. Yeah. Was fired from multiple dealerships. Also almost sold Mary Kay Cosmetics. Was assistant manager at Sambo's Restaurant at one time. Of course, they're out of business.
Yeah.
Now he's here trying to kill this show. Doing a good job of it. Ladies and gentlemen, Dan Levi Strauss. Dan's all yours.
Thank you so much. Did you get a chance to watch America's Got Talent last night?
I did not. I forgot about it.
Wow.
Good?
Oh, my goodness. It is these people that are on there.
I will say this. That show, unlike the others, is more like a variety
yes.
show. Like watching the old Ed Sullivan show.
It is.
Of the Voice, Idol, whatever, what I've seen of America's Got Talent, yeah, it's the best.
And last night was the final acts where they get up and they sing and they do their whatever they did. There's two comedians on there. One girl's really funny. Another guy has Tourette's and he makes fun of Tourette's the entire time.
Does he get up there and go, MF-er?
No, he doesn't have that part of the Tourette's.
He's got the shaking?
Yeah, yeah. And
nothing funnier than that. I bet he won.
No, he hasn't won. They picked the winner tonight.
Well, I thought the last night was the
finale. Last night was the finale for them performing.
Oh, okay.
Tonight is the night where they actually pick the winner. And any one of these acts could win this thing.
What does the Tourette's guy do?
He does stand-up comedy.
And he shakes when he does it?
Not really. He has a twitch. You can tell he has some sort of a twitch.
How do we know it's not fake for sympathy voting?
Don't know. Don't know.
Because I think a lot of these people, what I don't like about these shows, what I like about America's Got Talent, it's not just singing. You know, the Voice is singing, yes. American Idol is singing. This is magicians and acrobatic stuff. But I don't like that all of them give you that look back, like the family life and abused as a child or was in a horrible accident. I don't like that stuff. There's always somebody's got a sob story. And by the way, if you don't have a sob story, you're not going to win.
They all have a backstory.
Yeah, and I think they only want to choose people who either have a horrible backstory or they made up a good one. And I don't like that. Let's just have some talent.
Yeah. Well, they don't. A lot of them don't have the last guy that sang last night. He's a singer, and he and his wife have adopted like 6 kids.
No, let him win.
And he's a nurse, but he's actually a great person. And he's actually.
Do you know him?
Frank hates him. I do.
Oh, wait, I don't know him. No, he's talking. I hate him.
No, you just hate him.
You accused me of hating people yesterday. I don't hate anybody. I've told you this. I don't hate anybody. I'm not a hater.
I'm sorry.
I'm a guy who doesn't like to be in a crowd of people, but I'm not a hater.
And he's a male nurse.
Yeah.
And he has helped. He's a male nurse. More or less, he works a lot in pediatrics. So,
at the hospital, he's the one to go get the mail.
And yeah, very much so. Yeah.
That should have had a rim shot. What's your opinion?
But every act on there, and I would never really got into America's Got Talent before. I watched American Idol in its heyday. This last year was just atrocious, that American Idol, when they brought it back. And then The Voice, we watched The Voice once in a while.
I don't watch that once in a while. Chairs turning around, okay. You
know. But America's Got Talent, we've pretty much watched it almost every week this year. That's the first time I've ever done anything like that. And these
people. Kelly Clarkson on there?
Not on The Voice, she is.
Okay, see, I don't watch them.
Kelly Clarkson's on The Voice, and she was the first winner on Idol. American Idol.
Yeah.
It's,
how about that for a slap in the face?
Yeah, no kidding.
Thanks for letting me win. I'm going over to America's Got Talent.
Well, there's a lot of people that say that when they went on American Idol, they have them under contract.
Right, for about 5 years.
Yeah, and then they can't. The winners, they have under contract for 5 years, but there's other. Ethan Jones, who was with the Well Hungarians for a while and now is with Dr. Zhivegas, made it to Hollywood on American Idol. And they had him under a contract, and he had a lot of stuff that he was doing with songwriting and all this, and he couldn't release anything until they released him from the contract.
Yeah.
And he had to ask them to release him from the contract so he could actually start doing his own music. So that was it. But that was it. They picked the winner tonight.
You remember anything funny the Tourette's guy said?
I don't. I don't really remember much about him. And they said a comedian has never won America's Got Talent. So there's two comedians. There's a female, and there's the guy.
I've seen her. She's the dark-haired, heavy-set gal.
Yeah.
See, I don't think she's funny.
Yeah.
I watched her a couple of times. I don't think she's funny.
Yeah, she's okay, but...
you know what my problem is, though? I'm in a room with the funniest people in the world, so it's hard, you know, for me to accept mediocre humor. You're welcome.
Heck yeah. So tonight they pick the winner.
Anything else?
No, that's all I have.
All right. Tim, anything?
Yeah.
All right. what enthusiasm. You got anything? Yeah. And now, ladies and gentlemen, author, a clock resetter.
Thank you, Frank.
You're welcome.
Oh, were you done?
Tim Woodward. Okay, go ahead.
I don't like to go to comedy shows because something usually bad or awkward happens to me at them.
You get picked out?
Yes, I have twice. Mm-hmm. And the first time went so poorly that I got kicked out of the club. It was Deja Vu Comedy Club up in Columbia, Missouri. I had long hair at the time, if you believe it. I used to have hair at the time, if you believe
it. I got
that.
Your next book.
And
Bad Mood, Good Mood, Picked Out, Kicked Out. Then that's the other story of your life. I was picked out, I was kicked
this,
out.
I was on a date with this hot girl that it was a setup, and I had a sport coat on. We went to a nice thing. I had a sport coat on and dress shoes, and it was a first date. I was 21 years old. Deja Vu Comedy Club in Columbia, Missouri. I was on a double date. And this comedian gets up there, and he was just awful. I mean, he was bombing on everything, and we had front row seats.
Oh. Did you heckle him?
You did. I didn't heckle him until he started heckling me. He started picking on me. And
why?
Because he told a joke that no one really kind of laughed at, and I guess maybe I kind of let out a little bit of a,
Kind of like I do with somebody else's jokes.
I guess right?
That and the fact that Tim was the only guy in the front row with no pants on. That kind of draws attention.
So he looks at me and he goes, "Oh, you don't think that's funny? What do you do for a living, Mr. Sharpjay? You little sharp-dressed man. You little cute man. He's like, he was this... making
you
fun
sure
of my
he was
hair.
Looking at you?
I had my hair gelled. I used to be good looking. I had my hair gelled back, and I had a sport coat on. I mean, I was with a hot girl. This is almost like a fantasy. And he said, you don't think that's funny? He goes, well, let's talk about you. What you do for a living? And you know me, Frank. I can be quick-witted on occasion, and this guy was just grating on my nerves, and now I know he's going to start picking on me. And a couple other people had already thrown some haymakers from left field at him, you know, kind of some cat calls or whatever. He goes, what you do for a living? I said, well, I'm a comedian critic. I go around the country and make fun of bad comedians. And everybody laughed when I said that. And he gives this signal to security, and security comes and gets me and drags me out of the show. And he got the whole crowd to sing, na, 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 hey, goodbye. So he sung that to me. That's all. I couldn't believe I got kicked off of that. And my date's left up there, right? That's what really made me mad. I lived about 3/4 of a mile. I should have put this story in my book. I lived about three, because it didn't end good. I lived about 3/4 of a mile from this club. It was snowing out. It was December, and I had dress shoes on, and I ran home.
Crying? Were you crying?
No, I had a little bit of like Don Johnson, 5 o'clock, you know, stubble going at the time.
Were you crying?
No, not yet. Okay. That's coming. And I ran home, and I shaved, changed clothes, and ran back down to the club and put a hat on and ran back down to the club. And the bouncers, they were checking ID and everything, right? Now, the comedy club's upstairs, and the rest of the bar area was downstairs. So you had to actually walk. But the bouncers are downstairs, and it was the bouncers that had kicked me out or that had drugged me out, and there's the guy standing at the door. And I come walking up, and, you know, got my ID out, acting like I haven't been in there that night. You know, I got my wallet out.
Man,
got my ID
out. You.
Guy looks at me and goes, he looks at my ID, and he looks at me and goes, hey, didn't we just throw you out of here? I said, no. What are you talking about? I said, my brother Tom's in there. Is he causing a problem? And I made it through. And then he calls the second bounce over. He goes, you look a lot like the guy we just threw out of here. I said, I don't know what you're talking about. My friends are up there. My brother's up there.
My twin brother, Tom.
Yeah, my twin brother, Tom. Tim. Because I had my ID.
Tim.
Tom's up there. Did you throw Tom out? Was he causing a problem again? Is he drunk? You know, and I got past the two of them. And then I was gonna go back into the club and see if I could get away with it and like go up to my front row seat and sit right back down. I was gonna give it right back to this comedian again. And the owner of the place knew me because I was a TV anchor at the time.
Whoa!
He
I was a sports anchor on the student TV station, KOMU, and so he recognized me, and he goes, hey. He goes, I don't think so. And I go, what? He goes, no. He goes, you can come back in here. You just can't come back in here tonight. I'm like, what are you talking about? Come on. He goes, you ain't got no brother. I know who you are. I got passed
thrown out twice.
I was getting ready to go right back into comedy club, and I got thrown out of the same comedy club twice in one night.
Is KLMU the Mizzou?
Yes.
The NBC affiliate.
Correct.
Right. No kidding.
Mm-hmm. I was a weekend sports anchor there for 6 months. Mm-hmm. You see my resume.
Let's add that to the list.
It's like, right. My resume is like 50 jobs long. I've had a bunch.
I wouldn't be bragging pension? About that. Well, that's Dan's got one slightly longer.
Okay.
Former TV anchor.
Well, I mean,
Larry Conley.
I was still in school. So, I mean, I was a senior. I mean, you know, you had to try out to be anchor. You know, everybody tried out. And then
was your dream to be like a Larry Connors or something?
No, because he was a boring news guy. I wanted to be a sports guy. I mean, he was a very articulate news guy.
I was a
sports guy. I was a sports guy.
Wow.
Sports I like guy. The way that Limey always said, shots fired.
Thank you.
Shots fired.
Yeah.
I mean, is he coming down the
Larry
hall?
Just no, not yet.
Larry just canceled my book yesterday. Guy. He just canceled his order.
Well, you know, the good news for you is he's old and he can't hear. So he probably didn't hear that. And I know because he and I have the same hearing issue.
No, he's like my mother who can't hear either. She only hears you if you say something wrong or if you say something about her or if you cuss. Everything else right over
here. Here's a conversation Larry and I have often. What? 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 Anything else?
Mm-mm.
All right. You calm now? You okay?
Yep.
Okay, good. We can close the Burke segment. Tonight is my...
Here comes
Larry.
Here comes Larry.
Oh, boy.
Larry, I defend you, man.
Come on in, Larry. Come on in here. Come on. Give him a chair and a microphone.
He's giving me gang symbols. Did you see those gang symbols he's giving me?
Yeah, he thought I was the Antichrist symbol.
Larry?
Who's this Tim guy that you've been having in here?
That was his brother a while ago, Tom.
His brother?
He's gone now. They look
alike. Yeah. They sound alike. They both have the same IQ.
I didn't know until today he tried to be a TV anchor. Look where that got him.
Well, of course, look where it got me.
True.
But it took a while before
you were out.
But thank you. Sports guys, Larry, you were a news anchor for a million years. The sports guys are allowed some liberty of comedy and creativity.
Sure.
The news guys are just the facts, man, for the most part.
Except for the little fluff stuff at the end. I threw some lines in occasionally. But, yeah, you had to be careful that you weren't... truly commenting on a particular story and stuff like that.
Yeah. Or a visit to the White House.
I could introduce Savard and say, here's the biggest Hulk in the house or something, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right. But you can't exactly crack a joke after talking about a triple murder over on
the East Side. That's when you learn. But, and you know, I used to watch a lot of network people. They would be sitting there at a tragedy and then almost smiling. They've got it so ingrained to smile and everything, and they're thinking, are you not paying attention to what you're reporting? Seriously.
You know what could have gone wrong, though, with that? Here's the biggest Hulk in the house. Let's say you had that line, mm-hmm. and you just didn't realize this is where we go to the weather girl. You got to be so careful.
I would have lost the job sooner.
So careful. All right, thank you. Larry Connors, everybody. Special appearance. He'll be back at 6 o'clock, a couple minutes after 6, after the news with Larry Connors, USA. Later, we will tell you a little bit what he's doing. I bet that Kavanaugh thing is going to be part of his show.
You were right, by the way. Was your prediction on the air yesterday, or was it off?
No, that was just to you.
Oh, okay.
I told him, I said, this woman will never show for the hearing. And look, we don't, on this show, we don't do this, but this whole Kavanaugh, it's everywhere. It's wherever you turn, tune in. There it is, this Brett Kavanaugh and this woman. And I'm reluctant to talk about it, but it's just, I'm also kind of fascinated by it. Because what I don't like about, one of the many things I don't like about what's happened in this country is that depending on who you are and what side you're on, you can do certain things and get away with it. But if it's the other side, they can't do the same thing. And the other thing I don't like is that it seems like anybody can accuse anybody of anything, and that's what sticks. People hear that somebody was accused, and it's wrong.
and it could happen to any of us.
And it could happen to you. She could absolutely be telling the 100% truth, mm-hmm. or she could also just pull this out of thin air. She could have been approached by the Democrats, because she's a Democrat, and said, look, we'll pay you X amount of, I'm not kidding, X amount of money. Come up with a story, because we do know you went to school with the guy, so you make this story up. This will push everything back till after the election. Help us out with this. And look what's happening. It's all about delay. That's what this is about. If I were telling the truth about something somebody did to me like that, I couldn't get to the hearing fast enough. Yeah, I'm more than happy to tell you what happened. So, she may be. I don't know. That's it. We're not going to talk about it anymore. I don't like it when people are arrested. What's in the news is was arrested and charged with. When it turns out it was the wrong person, that story gets about like a blip in the page four. It's not a big story anymore. But what sticks with people is, oh yeah, I remember that name. That was the guy that was a pedophile. No. Remember, they had the wrong guy. He was let go. No, they don't remember that. And that, I don't like that.
Well, it goes back to, remember the Atlanta bombing with the during the Olympics.
Yeah.
During the Olympics, that guy that they charged and basically ruined his life.
And they had to write him a big fat check, too.
Because they
jumped a little too soon.
Yeah.
And the other, remember those lacrosse players that were accused of rape?
Yes.
No. And then the girl, after all of the people that wanted to just burn them on the cross,
right?
These scumbag rich kids raping that girl, and then made it up. Their lives were wrecked for quite a while. It's just not right. If she's telling the truth, there surely is a way to prove that, and maybe there's not. And maybe that's the problem with waiting 36 years or whatever it was. So enough about that. Who was the, you watched the Emmys, who was the large lesbian woman who came out with the sport coat on? And the, you know what I'm talking about? On the Emmys. I had no idea who she was. Here's her picture. You recognize her? Who is that?
Let me see.
There were a couple of people who came out on stage. I thought, who the heck are you?
This is great radio, by the way. Absolutely.
I didn't watch the Emmys, by the way. I think you might be thinking of Dan Buffer or somebody.
I watched some of it.
Or were you looking at Dan?
I said Dan Estrada.
It says here, her name is Hannah Gadsby.
Who the heck is that?
I have no idea. Nanette, yeah. Google Hannah Gadsby. G-A-D-S-B-Y. Gadsby. I have no idea who she is.
She's a comedian.
Yeah.
We're talking about something sad here for a second. 20 years ago today, a guy named Alan Barklage crashed a helicopter, and 6 days later he died. For those who don't know, because it was 20 years ago, Alan Barklage was one of the nicest people I ever worked with. He was a helicopter pilot in Vietnam, and then he was a charter helicopter pilot for sightseeing and whatever, and then he became a traffic copter pilot. He had over 32,000 hours of helicopter time. Now, I'm a pilot. I have about 3,000 hours airplane, helicopter, over 32,000. That's the equivalent to about 3.5 years of his life flying. He flew morning traffic. He flew afternoon traffic. He was a tremendous helicopter pilot and just the most likable guy. And when somebody like that dies, it doesn't register. And Alan Barklage is the reason that I became a helicopter pilot. And I got a helicopter license because of Alan. Because I used to go ride with Alan. And I used to watch him fly. And I'd sit next to him. I thought, how in the world do you fly this thing? This is it's unbelievable. I mean, but it was fun. And I remember one day we're flying over Forest Park. And there was a big open, it was like a softball field at Forest Park. And mm-hmm. he said, go ahead. Take the controls. And so I did, and I was okay just sort of flying, make a turn left and right. And he says, see if you can land it. And I tried to set it down in the softball field, and as I got closer and closer to the ground, it starts to get away from me because the controls of a helicopter are extremely sensitive. You make such slight little movements, and I'm over-controlling. And it looked like a scene where a helicopter had been shot out of the air. The tail is spinning around. And he just sat there calmly while the thing is just spinning out of control. There was a guy on the softball field. He was a groundskeeper or something for his park. He looks up and sees what looks like a helicopter plummeting out of control to the... And he dropped his rake and just ran for his life. I just remember seeing this poor guy run, thinking, this helicopter is going to crash. And so, and at the last minute, we're just a few feet off the ground, Alan just says, I'll take it. And he recovers it and just, we take on off again.
I know where you can go.
And he said, let me try it again. I tried again. I couldn't do it. But that made me want to learn how to do it. I thought, well, if that's that hard, I got to see if I can, because I didn't even know if I could fly an airplane. I did that sort of to prove that I could, because I didn't think I could. So Alan is responsible for that.
That's not even his best calm under fire story.
No.
Oh, he's got two better ones, much better ones. The hijacking is the best one. But when my son, my older son, I think was 5 or 6 or something, he went to a little preschool, and it was his birthday. And I thought, what can I do for his birthday to just blow him away? And I said, Alan, I said, after the traffic report in the afternoon, can we put that thing down in that schoolyard and pick him up from preschool? He said, you bet. So I called the teacher, and I got permission. And what they used to do, she said, this is perfect. She said, because on that day, we go out and they'd sit outside in a circle in the grass under a tree. It was September's his birthday. It was nice weather. And it was a really pretty day. And he didn't know. And I remember as we got closer and closer, I looked down, I saw all the kids out in the grass. And not far away, we set it down, and all the kids are, it was like a UFO landing, right. A yellow helicopter. And I jumped out and ran toward him, and he realized it was me. He goes, Dad. And I said, come on, bud. Happy birthday. And he jumps in the helicopter, and all his little schoolmates watched him just fly off in the sky. It was as exciting for me as it was for him. It was fun. But Alan was, I have to tell a couple of quick stories because I just feel like I should. Alan would sometimes get almost bored flying traffic because, like anything else, you do it morning, you do afternoon for years and years and years, unless there's something really going on. So I flew with him one day during traffic. I did morning radio, so in the afternoons I'd sometimes go with him. And he said, hey, you want to see something cool? Now, he was a Vietnam pilot. He flew all kinds of stuff. He was shot down a few times, survived. So this is a guy who could, what they call treetop, where you just take the helicopter along the tops of the trees. And when the trees, the valleys, you go down, you come up over the trees again. So we're over in Old Collinsville Road, I think was the road in Illinois. And he said, this is so much fun. Watch this. He said, there's a particular part of the road where there's a deep dip in a hill. And if you time it right and you get down low, if a car is coming, he could look behind enough, he could see a car. So he dropped down. And what would happen is when the car would top the hill, their right nose-to-nose coming at it is a helicopter, and he'd jump over the car. Oh. Yeah, he just jumped. Before the guy could swerve, he'd jump right over the top of the car, and he'd laugh. You know, I said, Alan, you got to give somebody a heart attack like that. He goes, I know, but it's just so much fun. He said, here's another fun thing. We go over to Cahokia to a farm field. Now, in the summer, you fly with the doors off. It's so much more fun and cooler. And you know those water sprinklers that they shoot out and they go in a circle in the stream?
Yeah.
They make those for farms. They're giant. They're and it goes around the 360 degrees and just shooting this jet. He said, watch this. And he would time it so when he flew by as it's coming around, the water jet would shoot right through the doors, right in one door and out the other one. Yes, yeah, just incredible. A blast of water. And you'd get a little bit wet. He'd laugh. Isn't that fun? But he did stuff like that and knew what he was doing. He knew what he could do and do it safely. Man, could that guy fly a helicopter. I mean, it was part of him. It's like he wore the helicopter.
Surely none of that was legal.
Well, it's not illegal.
Getting on the road.
It's not illegal. Flying on a farm field, letting water shoot through your helicopter is not illegal.
Yeah, sure, but even like floating above the road.
Well, that's not exactly, you're not supposed to do that. But
it's got
to
be like,
did he die in a crash?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the saddest part. For a guy who wore the helicopter, he died in, it's called a Mini 500. It's a single-seat, home-built, little horrible, I think, to me, I would never, helicopter. It's a home kit, home-built thing.
Right.
It has essentially a Sea-Doo engine, the Bombardier, the Sea-Doo people. It's a two-cycle watercraft engine, essentially. And what I think is, I think that Alan was a guy who, when you fly, you love to have your own airplane or helicopter. And he always flew somebody else's. It was leased by the station.
So he wanted his own.
He wanted his own. So right. He didn't have the money. He didn't make a lot of money. He made school teacher money. So he gets this home-built thing, just so he can have his own helicopter. But he died, and I think sometimes what happens is you get so good at something. It's kind of like when you drive your car and you don't remember any of the turns, and next thing you know, you're home. And you go, I don't even remember. Mm-hmm. My mind was on something else. And I think sometimes when you fly, you get so good at it that you get sloppy. And it only takes once, and I don't mean that in a bad way with Alan, but to have a copter, he had to settle for this thing. And what killed him was the number one killer of helicopter pilots, and when you learn to fly, they drill this into you over, and they made us watch graphic videos of people crashing in helicopters as they're being videoed by their family. The guy gets a helicopter, and he's showing off for his kids. And then he plummets and dies, and they're running toward the wreckage with a camera, and there's the gruesome thing. Jeez. They make you watch that. Ooh. Because it's all about the number one killer, and that's what killed him, power lines. It's the number one killer of helicopter pilots is power lines, because sometimes you can't see the power lines. They blend in with the sky. They blend in with the trees, and you can't see them. And, Dan, do you remember the day you asked me to go to your son's school with a helicopter? Remember that?
Yeah.
It was down south somewhere. I went the day before, flew down, just to circle and sort of do a preliminary, and I'm glad I did. The day we were supposed to do it, it rained out.
Mm-hmm.
But I went the day before, and sure enough, cutting right through the trees by the little field I was going to land in, massive power lines, and I barely saw them. And I thought, man, I'm glad I did this. Alan took off from Cahokia, and as he's ascending, this thing, they said, popped, just pop, and that was it. The engine quit. Now, you can land a helicopter if you have enough altitude without an engine, auto rotation. But when you are over massive power lines and it goes out, you got nowhere to go but down into the power lines. You can't jump over them because you don't have any power anymore. And that's right. The saddest part is that I'm sure he knew better, but he'd taken off so many times from that airport over there. And, I don't know if he always took off over power lines, but this particular day, the wrong place to be. Had that happened anywhere but over those power lines, I promise you, he was so good, he could have set it down. Maybe banged it up, but he'd have walked away. It's a sad thing. And then 6 days later, I think on the 25th, he died. But he was cordial, and he loved taking people flying. And that's what happens if you have a motorcycle or a boat, and I've had this stuff. It's more fun with other people. It's more fun if you take somebody with you. It just is.
Because you get to share in their experience.
Yeah, and you get to watch them be excited.
Right.
You know, I used to put people in the back of motorcycles, and they, woo, they, you know, it either scared them to death or they loved it. But most people, it was a big thrill. And a boat, even. It's nowhere near as much fun taking a boat ride by yourself as it is with other people or somebody else. So, you know, look, none of us really know for sure what happens when you're gone, but I hope he's up there. He's used to the view, you know.
That was nice.
Before he had to die to get up there, he spent a lot of time looking down. So I'm sure he's looking down now and is real familiar with what he sees. So.
And then his brother Rich took over at like Channel 5, because Alan was doing Channel 5 traffic.
And there. He died.
He had a heart attack.
Jogging,
right?
Jogging in the parking lot.
Yeah.
His brother was a pilot, and he died.
Wow.
And he's got another brother, Larry, who's a helicopter pilot. How about that, though? Your other brother dies, and it's not even in a helicopter.
Yeah.
So, and that was the guy I told you about the other day where the Mr. Big from Gannett was coming to visit our station. He sprayed his socks black.
That's
that was out.
Right. That was they, him.
They sprayed his socks black?
Yeah, yeah the yeah. general manager, he had white socks with a flight suit, a jumpsuit, and she said, that doesn't look good. Mr. Curley's coming in town, and he's not going to like that white sock.
Spray painted I told,
and she had sent out a memo. I'm not kidding. They had sent out a memo the day before telling everybody how to dress. No jeans, black socks, no white socks. So Alan just ignores it, comes in white socks, and she said, he's going to be here in an hour. Alan goes in the engineering room and gets black spray paint and sprays his socks black. And I'm not kidding. They look like black socks. You couldn't tell. It worked. He got away with it. So rest in peace, Alan Barkage. Wow, 20 years ago, I can't believe that. When the flood in 93 happened down in the valley, the flood came in on a Friday. The levee broke, and everything went underwater on Friday. Monday morning, I went up with Alan and flew over it. I couldn't believe what I was looking at. Everything was 15 feet underwater. Some things you couldn't see anymore, and some just the tops of things. But I'll never forget that day. Alan let me go up and do part of the show from up there, a morning show. So I did, instead of him just doing a traffic report, he landed at the station, took me, and I did part of the show describing what I was looking at in Chesterfield Valley. So that's it. I mean, I know it's not interesting to everybody, but I don't know. Sometimes you'll never figure life out. Life is a weird.
Well, you know, I bet Limey hasn't heard. I bet a lot of your listeners haven't heard because it happened so long ago. You should tell if while you're doing this tribute. Because I've heard you tell this story, and you put things into it that I didn't know from reading about it in the newspaper, about the time he got hijacked by a woman who tried to bust a guy out of prison.
Yeah.
Barbara Oswald was her name. She's about 40 years old.
Remember her name?
Oh, I remember her name.
Wow.
I never forgot it. He worked for, I believe, Faust Air. They did sightseeing tours, or if you want to look at real estate. So she had called in and said, I need to hire a pilot and helicopter. I'm going to go look at some real estate in southern Illinois. And Alan was the pilot. They get up, and she tells him about where to head. And what he doesn't know is she's heading him toward Marion, to the prison. And as they get out a little way, she pulls a gun. Alan told me the story and showed me pictures of the blood and the helicopter and the whole thing. Mm-hmm. She pulls a gun on him and reaches over and turns off all of the things that you don't want turned off, because now you're in contact with nobody. He turns the transponder off. The transponder is what makes you show up on the radar. Mm-hmm. Turns his radios off. No communication. He can't key anything, contact anybody. She knew what to turn off.
In midair.
Yes, with a gun on him. And by the time he could say, what are you, she says, we're going to get my boyfriend out of prison. You do as you're told, and you'll live through it. And he was to drop down in the prison yard. They had already set up the prison part of it to overpower somebody. He's mm-hmm. going to fly off with this guy. As they get really close to the prison, Alan just said, I just felt like I didn't have a choice. I got to go for it. And he reaches over and grabs her arm with the gun and starts wrestling with her. Folks, in a helicopter, there's a cyclic and a collective. The cyclic is that stick in front of you. When you let go of that, it's out of control. And I mean, it's you've seen movies and pictures of guys get shot in the air, or it's just somebody just loses power and the tail starts spinning around. So they're flailing around, wrestling with he gets the gun away from her, regains control of the helicopter, and he says, he hears these words, that's okay, I have another one. And he looks over, and she has pulled another gun out, and that's when he just just pumped like four of them into her and killed her. It was who's going to shoot first.
Right.
Now he's got blown out plexiglass. He's got blood splashed. A .44 Magnum, which is a big gun. There's a lot of blood, and it makes a big hole.
Make a mess, yeah.
When he set it down, and he had to set it down in Marion because things all shot up inside.
In the prison?
Yeah.
He set the helicopter down in the prison.
Yeah, either that or just outside the prison, because he was what her boyfriend told people was, he's with us, he's in on it. So they thought Alan was part. Oh yeah. Oh no, he had to go through. I'm sure it was very uncomfortable and awkward. Now he's got to prove I'm not part of this. And the boyfriend said, yes, he is. He's a good friend of ours, and He was part of this whole deal.
With also a dead body involved in the situation.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the whole thing. But Alan was the coolest guy. He never seemed to me like somebody who had to have massive psychiatric help after that happened or anything. He plucked a guy out of the river down here by the arch. The guy tried to commit suicide, jumped off a bridge. Alan was doing traffic. I'll get him. Helps the police pull the guy out of the water with the skids on the helicopter.
No way.
Oh, no, he wasn't afraid of anything.
Wow.
He was not afraid of anything. But the Barbara Oswald thing, like Tim asked me to remember her name. I can't believe I still remember her name. You can Google Barbara Oswald prison escape, and there comes the whole story about Alan and what happened, and what a story. But you talk about a book. There's the guy who could have written the book, Alan Barklage. Between Vietnam and the hijacking mm-hmm. thing and traffic reports and plucking guys out of the river, he could have written a great book. We're going to have to make a decision. We'll take a break here, but we need to make a Freddie Freeman decision. Now, Tim's only heard the Freddie Freeman joke one time.
Oh,
it's the only joke we tell on Halloween.
Right.
And as we get close to October, the Freddie Freeman joke it's like an out-of-control monster with tentacles. It started off as about a one-minute joke. It's now like an eight-minute joke. And for the listeners who've listened for a long time, do you want it to continue to just grow and be this never-ending joke that is not a joke anymore, it's a story? Or should we go back and just chop it down to the essential original joke?
No, absolutely not. I think it should keep growing because obviously you've been growing it for years now. So
do you remember
people
the joke?
Have had their input. I remember it from last year.
He's a kid who cannot say F like fire is mm-hmm. buyer. All F's are B's.
Yeah.
So he's Brady Breeman.
Right.
And it starts with that. And the woman opens the door and she goes, "Well, who's this little pirate?" And he goes, "Oh, you know, come on, Mrs. Bergeson. You know it's me, Brady Breeman." and then originally, that was followed in about 20 seconds with the punchline.
And you know what's interesting? The Cardinals just wrapped up their series with the Braves. Yeah.
Yeah.
Braves.
There's a player
Freeman.
Called Freddie Freeman.
And he hit a home run against them today and beat them.
Yeah. He hit a home run the other day, too.
Well, then it went from that to, well, how's your dad, Freddie? Oh, he's fine. He's just fine. Thanks for asking. Is he still on the job? Oh, yeah, he's a buyer. He puts out buyers. And then he just started had the life of its own. So Freddie Freeman and Pumpkinhead Harvey coming up. My goodness, it'll be
God.
Here. It'll be here already.
That's crazy.
Let's talk a little bit, if we could, about, because everybody's going to have to face this, or most people anyway, changing jobs or retiring. Now, when you do that, there are things, questions that you're going to want answered. What do you do with that money, that 401k money? Do you, you know, cash it out? Do you reinvest it, and how? And then for people who aren't at retirement or changing jobs, you're probably thinking about it, even if you're 30 or 40, someday. And one of the biggest assets you have in planning, obviously there's money involved, but it's time. And you lose a little of that every day. And the longer you wait to start accumulating capital for retirement, the harder it's going to be. Now, how do you plan for retirement? I have a couple of people I think you would be glad, you'll be glad you met them. I had a great meeting yesterday with Jason Becker. We had a nice hour and a half long lunch. And I can't give you the details because by law, they won't let you do that. I wish I could. But Mark Reardon and Jason Becker are financial advisors, and they're with Stifel. Stifel is a member of the SIPC and the NYSE. And they are committed to offering you, as an investor, personalized investment guidance. They will set up, you'll set it up actually, a complimentary meeting with them. And it'll be informative. It'll be pressure-free, obligation-free. And I'm going to give you the website. You hear it every day and you know it. That's how you're going to find the phone number to get in touch with them to set up this complimentary meeting. If you have $25,000 or more to invest or already invested, why wouldn't you want to just listen to what they have to say? If what you're afraid of is they're going to strong arm you into something. No. That just means you've never met him. That's not going to happen. It's strictly advice, consultation, a look at your portfolio. So the rest is up to you. Here's the website. You hear it every day, and I know you know it. MarkandJason.com.
And we're going to get a check on traffic with Tory Lyons.
Traffic is brought to you by Staples. Accident southbound 55 south of Richardson Road. A crash eastbound 70 east of Lucas and Hunt. Westbound 70 heavy for a look. Northbound 170 south of 70. An accident involving an overturned vehicle. MoDOT reporting all lanes are blocked. A serious crash northbound 141 at Vance. And you've got rain downtown now causing delays on all the freeways. Staples offers bold color printing to help your business stand out. Now get 20% back in rewards on your color printing. In-store only offer ends 11/10/18. Restrictions apply. See store staples.com/20back for details. Print more color, attract more customers, save more money. Staples. Reporting for 590 The Fan, I'm Tory Lyons. Now back to the Large Morning Show in the afternoon.
Nana Mama's Pizza will soon be your go-to choice for pizza in St. Louis. That's because Nana Mama's uses only the freshest ingredients, and it's all local. From the freshest locally grown produce to the perfect dough made fresh in-store every day. Pair that with edge-to-edge toppings, and you really can't beat it. Nana Mama's Pizza is a family-owned restaurant that is family-friendly and opens 7 days a week. Come hang out inside or enjoy the day outside in the outdoor seating area located in Baldwin and Creve Coeur. Check them out online at nanamamas.com.
Oh, hello there. I'm 70s heartthrob and multi-Emmy award-winning sportscaster Doug Vaughn. Has your life been feeling dull? Well, I'll just get straight to the point. Come into the sharpest place in town and live with a new edge. Scissors, knives, pruners, hedge clippers, lawnmower blades, whatever you need sharpened, the fine professionals at Bertarelli Cutlery can take care of it for you. 1927 Marconi on the Hill. Call them at 314-664-4005. Follow them on Facebook or on Twitter at STL Knives. Doug Vaughn here to tell you about Ragazzi's and their banquet rooms. Ragazzi's is popular for their rehearsal dinners and are already booking holiday parties. If you're looking for a location to hold your holiday party, work luncheon, or even an extended family get-together, look no further than Ragazzi's. Their banquet room offers sit-down seating for 80, or for a more casual event, the upstairs banquet room sits 60. Pair that with the trademark 32-ounce fish bowls, and you'll have everything you need for a really good time. 4945 Daggett on the Hill and Ragazzi's.com.
Your love is lifting me higher.
Your love!
Told you.
Julie Chen can't be on the talk anymore. Who cares? Who are the people who care that Julie Chen, because her husband is Les Moonves, are. Who cares?
I don't think anybody really cares. What people do care, though, about, apparently, is the Freddie Freeman joke.
Freddie Freeman.
Two people say to leave it alone already.
Two?
Two people. Those are on the texter. They say leave it alone.
That's half our audience. That sounds good.
See, I say also leave it alone, so there's three.
Okay. We got some calls. Maybe we'll take what?
Her daughter, you're talking about Barbara Oswald's daughter, the girl.
Right.
She hijacked a TWA flight and threatened to blow up the plane with dynamite strapped to her chest unless they set the guy free. That's what she did. That's what she did. She was 17 when she did that, after her mother got shot by Ellen Barkley.
You'd think after your mother gets shot, you'd go, well, giving up on getting this guy out.
In the same year. Now, that guy's a salesman. That guy right there. And they're trying to break out. He's a salesman.
The number one selling replacement window in the United States. That's right. It's Window World. The preferred window of the St. Louis Blues. That's right. It's Window World. I got a tremendous email yesterday from the guy and his wife who were the high bidders for the whole home replacement, doors, windows, the whole thing for the trivia night and the money that went to St. Jude Children's Hospital. He said they were blown away. They could not be happier. This was like $20,000 worth of stuff. I missed a lot of windows and doors and whatever, and it was just completed. I think there's one door left. But wow, what a glowing review and what great feedback. So, Brian, thank you for the update. I'm not surprised. I knew everything would be done perfectly because they're Window World, for goodness sakes. The number one selling replacement window in the United States, and if you want to know more about them, and I would think you would, then this is the website you need, Window World, St. Louis. Com. Don't go away, because in the 4 o'clock hour, after we talk to John Londoff, we're going to talk to Dr. Doug Pernikoff. It's 4 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is 590 The Fan. KFNS, Wood River, St. Louis, and 590thefan.com. The home of Budweiser.
Good afternoon, everyone. The 590 The Fan KFNS Studios in Kirkwood. I'm Tim Woodburn under cloudy skies, 81 degrees outside in downtown St. Louis. We're just minutes away from hour number 2 of the large morning show in the afternoon with Frank O'Pinion. News, weather, and sports headlines coming your way. And 2 traffic updates in this 4 o'clock hour as well. Here's what's happening. 3 people shot and wounded earlier today at a software company in a suburb of Madison, Wisconsin.